My brothers and sisters, I'm happy to greet you at this opening session of our 150th semi-annual World Conference of the Church. From the beginning, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints has emphasized the family life. We have always understood that the foundations of the family as an eternal unit were laid even before the foundation of this earth was created. Society without basic family life is without foundation and will disintegrate into nothingness. Therefore, wherever anything so basic as the eternal family is imperiled, we have a solemn obligation to speak out lest there be critical damage done to the family, the institution by which those who seem to be in deliberately destructive of it. The comments and standards of morality set by the Lord Himself are under attack on every hand. There are false teachers everywhere using speech, pornographic literature, magazines, radio, TV, street talk, spreading heresies which break down moral standards. Because of the seriousness of the matter, I have prepared in an article for the November Ensign, 1980 Ensign, about the new era. Magazines in which I speak out frankly and at length on the subject of morality. This is a grave responsibility and not an easy one. I encourage all Latter-day Saints to read this special message. We are living in perilous times. As more and more individuals dishonor the marriage vow, and as juvenile delinquency mounts, divorces in the United States are up over 65% since 1970. The number of the unmarried couples living together has gone up over 157% during the past decade. Many more children are growing up without having both parents in the home. In 1979, almost one of every five families with children has been maintained by one parent. Abortion has reached a plague proportion. There have been, for instance, more deaths from abortions in England in the decade since the English Abortion Act than there were deaths in the First World War. Of this, Malcolm Muggeridge said, "I was brought up to believe that one of the great troubles of our Western world was that in the First World War we lost the flower of our population. Well, now we have destroyed an equivalent number of lives in the name of humane principles before they were even born. Furthermore, many of the social restraints which in the past have helped to reinforce and to shore up The family are dissolving and disappearing. The time will come when only those who believe deeply in actively in the family will be able to preserve their families in the midst of the gathering evil around us. Whenever, whether from inadvertence, ignorance, or other causes, the efforts governments often make ostensibly to help the family sometimes only hurt the family more. There are those who would define the family in such a non-traditional way that they would define it out of existence. The more government try to in vain to take the place of the family, the less effective governments will be in performing the traditional and basic rules for which governments are formed in the first place, whether we like it or not. And so many of the difficulties which beset the family today stem from the breaking of the seventh commandment. Total chastity before marriage and total fidelity after are still the standard from which there can be no deviation without sin, misery, and unhappiness. The breaking of the seventh commandment usually means a breaking of one of or more of the homes. Delinquent adults still tend to produce delinquent children, and that awful reality will not change simply by our lowering the standards. As to what comprises delinquency, either in adults, youth, or children, we of all people, brothers and sisters, should not be taken in by the specious arguments that the family unit is something tied to a particular child. The phase of development of a mortal society is going through. We're free to resist those moves which downplay the significance of the family and which play up the significance of selfish frivolization. We run the family to be eternal. We know that when things go wrong in the family, things go wrong in every other institution in society. Those who, whether in ignorance or malice, attack the family are setting in motion an awful and needless cycle of misery and despair, for they will search in vain and pain for substitutes, and the wisdom of the worldly wise shall perish publicly for their folly. Concerning the family, the decline in many of our families is occurring at a time when the nations of the world are moving into some of the most difficult times known. Permissiveness will not pull us through the crisis. Materialism will not sustain us, for moth and rust will still lay waste and corrupt us all. Our mortal treasures, political Institutions, parliaments, congresses, and assemblies cannot rescue us. Our basic institutions, the family, is not intact. Peace treaties cannot save us when there is no, where there is hostility instead of love. In the home, unemployment programs cannot rescue us when many are no longer taught how to work or to do not have opportunity to work to the or the inclination to work. To do so, law enforcement cannot safeguard us. Too many people are unwilling to discipline themselves or be disciplined. Rising generations who have been taught that authority and loving discipline are wrong will not keep the faith, the fifth commandment. Honoring their fathers and their mothers, how can the rising generations honor their parents if their parents have dishonored themselves, especially by breaking the seventh commandment? Almost every array of statistics one sees with regard to the family becomes a sad sermon in statistics, reminding us of the need to stem and to turn the tide. Let us be sure in our Latter-day Saint homes that we do our part to stem and turn the tide. Again, I urge you to be diligent in recording your personal and family histories. We are pleased with the success of the recent World Conference of Records, where more than 11,000 people from over 30 nations in the world gathered to share and to learn concerning personal records. In this, let us be an example to others and reap the benefits of stronger family units as we preserve our heritage. We hope our parents are using the added time that has come from the consolidated scheduling of our classes in order to be with, teach, love, and nurture their children. We hope you have not forgotten the need for the family activity and recreation, for which time is also provided. Let your love of each member of your family be unconditional. Where there are challenges, you fail only if you fail to keep trying. We genuinely welcome help, real help from churches, schools, colleges, and universities, from thoughtful men and women of every race, creed, and culture, and care about the family. But as indicated earlier, if supporting the network of the institutions does not function adequately, then we will do our part anyway. There is no lack of clarity in what the Lord has told us. We cannot shirk. He has added the responsibility directly where it belongs, and He holds us accountable with regard to the duties of parents to teach their children correct principles and of the need to walk uprightly before the Lord. And there is no substitute in teaching our children by the eloquence of example. And oh, brothers and sisters, the families can be forever. Do not let the lures of the moment draw you away from the family. The divinity of it. Divinity, eternity, and family, they go together, hand in hand, so must we. I bear you my solemn witness that God lives, and that Jesus Christ lives, and that He is our Savior and Redeemer. I leave you my love and my blessings in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.